Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This week's episode of Do Go On is brought to you by our upcoming UK and Irish tour, which is kicking off in 2.5 weeks. Would you believe it, Matt and Jess?
Oh, my God.
I believe it.
It's so soon.
Coming I'm up so excited.
Soon. I'm so excited. We are hitting up Dublin for the first ever time, and we've just added in a once-off stand-up show, the only show of the tour. We're doing this at the Sugar Club directly before our podcast, which is nearly sold out, but the stand-up tour just went on sale last week. We're selling a lot of tickets.
We should have done it after, because then if the stand-up goes badly, we have to stick around and do another show for
them. Stand-up's not going to go badly, and you should say, Dave, that it's... It's a much smaller capacity on the stand-up
That's
show.
Right. Limited seats for the stand-up show. So if you want to get involved, you can hit up dogoonpod.com. We can get tickets for our shows in Dublin, Glasgow, Leeds, Bristol, two shows in London, and one in Birmingham.
And I'm also doing a solo stand-up hour in London at the Bill Murray on the 7th of December. And you can get tickets via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs.
And that's a Saturday night.
Saturday late, yeah, early evening. So plenty of time for a couple of brewskis afterwards. You want to come, Jess? Dave, you going to come? Going to come to the show?
I'll be there clapping on the side like I was last year.
I'm going to see if I can. I might be busy.
Yeah, see if I'm in the same city.
Tickets selling fast, so get in quick, Jess.
I might just miss out then. Oopsie. I'll
save you a seat.
Okay.
There's on saver. Put one aside for you. Dave?
And you'll look out onto that seat.
Yeah, I've got a card saying Jess sitting on there. It's already there. They got a month of shows in between now and then. But
no one's sitting in that seat.
It's costing you a fortune. All right, guys, do go on pod.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello, I'll be playing the character of Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins tonight.
Well, okay. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Jess.
Hello.
Second of all, I'd like to say hello to Matt.
Hello.
And how's Dave Warnocky doing?
Not too bad. I'm a little Dave Warnocky.
Wow, the man of two voices there.
I'll cut you off there, Pilgrim.
I'll be playing the role of stagehand.
Get that away from me. The stagehand. Thank you.
My favorite part about that is seconds before we hit record, Matt said, all right, let's just cut through the bullshit tonight.
Yeah, can you edit all of that out? I felt awful about that.
That doesn't get us out of here any quicker tonight in the room.
You know, when I say end scene, that's an ironic thing on a hack premise. I'm taking that. And let's get on with the show.
I like watching Matt have a breakdown.
Me too. Just let him go.
It's fun. Dave's breakdown's less fun.
Oh, much less fun.
But also much less frequent.
Hey,
much
if you like
violent.
If you like hearing me have a breakdown, I've started a third weekly podcast.
Moron.
Is that why you're having a breakdown now?
I think so. I've just realized how much work it is. But this new one's been so much fun. It's called Listen Now with Matt and Sam. And it's a music podcast where we go through the back catalogues of the world's most important and rockin'est bands, starting with Australia's pub rock icons, Cold Chisel. And like a lot of listeners probably don't know them. They're big in Australia but didn't really break huge overseas. But we explain all that in the show. So you can listen without knowing them. And I would say you really should.
And when should we listen?
Surely it comes out like early in the week, Mondays, I think.
I was setting you up for Listen Now, the title of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, they should listen now because there's already...
you tried.
I mean, come on.
I know, you did your best.
I genuinely had trouble.
It was an alley-oop, but he caught it, looked at it, and took a bite, you know?
And then threw the deflating ball into the crowd.
No, I didn't. I kicked it. But it's, yeah, listen now because there are, I think there'll be four episodes out. We've gone through the first... I think this week, although we've just done the classic album East, which was their big, huge breakthrough album in Australia. It was a real hit record. I think 7 times platinum.
Jesus. Oof. That's successful.
Yeah.
That's success.
Good on them.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
I reckon.
Gonna go see them in January.
That's exciting.
Can't wait.
That's very exciting.
And it's hosted with my cousin Sam. And she's never done a podcast before, but we're having a real bloody good time.
That's great. That's all that matters.
Mm.
I was going to say the real winner is friendship, but you're family.
Yeah.
The real winner is family.
Friendship is thicker than water. You know what I mean?
Ah, could not agree more.
I'm thinking about flour.
Oh, sorry.
Dave, what's this show?
Well, what this show is, a show that we take on the road, and I just want to quickly say, because we're about to go to the UK for the second time
yes.
in a couple of weeks, but we've just released, it's taken a whole year to edit together our tour diary from last year's UK show.
And when we say we edit it together, Steph Munro-Smith did a fantastic job.
She's done an awesome job.
I've been told. I have not been able to bring myself to watch it.
No, I've watched it because I think it's so well put together that I've watched it again recently. Was busted watching myself at work.
Oh, that's
embarrassing. Of course, when someone came up, on my iPhone, it was me front and centre.
Of course.
It could have been one of you two, but no, it was me. So it's in two parts. It's on YouTube now, and people have been loving looking at our faces out there in the world.
To be honest, Dave, odds are if they came in at any point, it would have been you in front and centre, jumping up in front of Jess, hogging the stage time, the screen time.
Yeah.
How else do you get ahead in this dog-eat-dog business?
Yeah,
that's true, actually.
It's definitely
getting
your head in the middle of a YouTube video.
Yep, that's how you do it. That's how all the greats started.
Already secured 6 auditions.
Wow. That's more than I've had in the last 2 years.
Now, the way this show works is one of the three of us choose a topic, often helped by the listeners, and then we research it, bring it back to the other two, tell them all about it. They don't know what it is, and they sort of annoy us a bit by chipping in with dumb questions like idiots. And hopefully it's all a good fun time. This week, Jess Perkins, comedian and radiographer, is doing the topic.
Yep.
And she's about to get us on the topic with a question. And the question is, Jess.
The question is, who is famous for the quote, "A dingo ate my baby"?
Oh, I know that it was on The Simpsons.
It was on The Simpsons?
Dave, do you remember her name? I'm blanking.
Oh, genuinely? I thought the question was too easy. Are you both blanking?
Oh, man. A dingo ate... For some reason, I'm imagining Pauline Hanson, which is so incorrect.
Oh, my God. I thought...
Meryl Streep played her.
Yes!
Lindy Chamberlain.
Lindy Chamberlain. Yes, that's correct. Meryl Streep played her, which is wild to me.
Have you seen it? Did she nail the Aussie accent? Because she would. She would, right? She would. If anyone can do it, it's Meryl.
It was young Meryl.
And obviously that's why I watched.
Was it 80s Meryl?
I want to hear. Yeah, 88. I want to hear how good a job she did the accent. It's not bad. It's not great.
Really?
Didn't quite nail it. Damn. But I don't, you know. Good on her still.
Well, the Australian accent's very varied. I don't think you can just say someone hasn't nailed it just because they speak a little differently from you, Jess.
Well, no, but when the words are quite American, they haven't quite nailed it, have they? I do have a fun fact about that later that you might know, but I didn't know and it blew my mind.
Whoa.
So I'll tell you about that later.
Cool. Oh.
But yes, so this has been suggested surprisingly only by a couple of people. Grace Brooks and David Brown suggested this, and I put it to the Patreons. The Patreons voted... and then it was tied, and so then I sent them another message. I was like, hey, guys, it's tied. If you haven't voted, vote. And then it was tied for an incredibly long time. So a lot of people wanted this. A lot of people wanted something else.
Well,
it's exciting.
That's exciting.
It's an exciting time. The
and
second
do you
one,
think that was Brian Brown's son who suggested it?
I could only assume yes. How many Browns do you know? You know?
There's the weatherman David Brown, and then there's famous Australian icon, Brian Brown.
Yes, who we assume are related.
Yeah. Who's Brian Brown?
They're the only two shades of brown.
Brian Brown.
Who's in Cocktail.
He's the token Australian in movies.
Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
No, you're thinking of Hugh Jackman.
Am I thinking of the right person, Brian
Brown?
Yeah,
Brian Brown. He was in Cocktail with Tom Cruise. He was in a few episodes of The Good Wife as a little love interest.
Is he Australian in it? Because I don't think he can
do
accents.
Yeah, he's an Australian.
Oh, Brian Brown. Brown.
He's in everything American where they need an Australian.
Tony Martin and Mick Molloy had a CD called The Brown Album.
Ward.
And on the back it had like a painting colour chart with all different shades of brown. And one of them was Brian Brown.
That is fun.
Is Brian the Brown? Last one was blue. Very couple of very funny bits.
On
a, they make a piece of paper funny.
How do they do it?
How do they do it?
Is Brian Brown in the Lindy Chamberlain movie?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, Bud Tingwell's in there.
Oh, is he? Bud.
I didn't watch the whole thing because I couldn't find it. I'm sure I could have illegally watched it online, but I didn't. I was just looking at YouTube clips and Bud Tingwell plays a judge. And I was like, of course.
So for American or English listeners or, you know, Icelandic or whatever listeners, I'd put the rest of the world into the whatever category. I think about a 50-year period where legally you weren't allowed to call it an Australian film if Bud Tingwell, Brian Brown, or Jack Thompson wasn't.
Yeah,
here.
If you had all three, you were going to win awards.
Yeah, you win.
But you have to have at least one for it to be legally referred to as an Australian film. That's right. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a whatever film.
Yeah, I don't like. What is this? I don't understand.
It's actually called a TV show.
Yeah, but for it to be an Australian film, it had to have Bud Tingwell and Meryl Streep in it.
Yeah.
This one also has Sam Neill. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit about that film
Another
later.
Another great Australasian.
Yes.
Claim him.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Lindy Chamberlain.
Yes. So this topic, obviously very famous in the
incredibly
Australian
famous
history, but also at the same time, I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, you kind of know bits and pieces. It's a name that we know having grown up because this happened way before our time, Dave, and just before Matt, barely.
Just
in the 1800s.
Just before Matt's 50th.
Yeah. So just before Matt's memory started to go.
Yeah.
it's definitely Lindy Chamberlain is a name that all Australians know, but you might not know much of the details of the case.
There was a Simpsons joke, wasn't
there? Yeah,
about
there was.
Dingo eating my baby.
Probably
in the Australian app.
Yes, but it's something like Bart's talking to the Prime Minister or something, and he says on the phone like, "Is that a dingo eating your baby?"
Right.
And there's also an Elaine on Seinfeld. A dingo ate my baby. It's like, okay, and I imagine by the end of this episode we'll be like, wow, that was really inappropriate.
Yeah, it's pretty insensitive. Yeah. Away we go. So on the 16th of August in 1980, Michael and Lindy Chamberlain and their three children, Aidan, who was six, Regan, who was four, and Azaria, who was 2 months old, arrived at Uluru for a family holiday. And Uluru, for any international listeners, you've definitely seen pictures of it, but it's a big sandstone rock in the middle of the country in Central Australia. In the past, it's also been referred to as Ayers Rock. It's been in the news a lot recently because they've just closed the climb of it. You're not allowed to climb it anymore. Hundreds of thousands of tourists flocked to it to be the last to climb it, even though the Indigenous people had very nicely asked people not to for a very long time. And now it's closed and you're not allowed to. Anyway, I did read, there was a news article. This guy was called Jason from Las Vegas, Jayson. And
cannot wait to hear his opinion.
He wanted to be the last to climb it, even though he'd already done it once before. In the 90s, and even in the 90s was aware of the Indigenous people saying, please don't. But he was like, nah, but it's a good view up there. And he also, throughout the entire article, kept referring to it as Ayers Rock. Like, even though he's very much aware it's not really, we don't call it that. So he seemed cool.
Seems cool.
Do you have his number?
Yeah. Jason.
Jason.
Good anyway. Jason. Son of Jay.
Son of Jay.
Hmm.
So, Uluru, a very popular tourist attraction, and that's where the Chamberlain family had chosen to spend their holiday. So they left their home 3 days earlier, travelling from Mount Isa in northern Queensland and driving down to central Australia to Uluru. And they arrived late on the 16th of August, set up camp. The next day, Michael took the boys to climb a portion of the rock while Lindy stayed back at the camp with the baby. She's only a couple of months old. That night, the evening of the 17th of August, the Chamberlain family gathered around the communal barbecues near their campsite and chatted with another family who were also camping nearby. The other family were Greg and Sally Lowe, a young couple also camping with their infant child. So they're just, like, hanging around at the communal barbecues, having a chat.
Making friends.
Having some dinner, keeping it low-key, you know, real chill. Around 8 p.m., as Sally Lowe was cleaning up after dinner and she walked to a rubbish bin, she turned and saw a dingo following her about 4 or 5 paces behind her. Shortly after, Michael Chamberlain was entertaining Aiden by tossing scraps of food to another dingo that was hanging around at the campsite. And at another point, Aiden was chasing a mouse around the campsite and a dingo pounced on the mouse.
Right, so they are everywhere.
Yeah, so just to state the obvious, there are dingoes around. Quite a lot of them.
Have you explained what a dingo is?
It's like a dog.
Yeah.
It's a wild dog.
It's Australia's native dog. We've got one of each. One Australian native everything.
Are they?
Macadamia, Australia's native nut.
Platypus.
Australia's native monotreme.
Monotreme. Mm. Shared that title with the echidna.
Yep.
I feel like maybe I learnt this at Healesville Sanctuary, but I could be remembering wrong. They're either, like, solo animals or packs. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Is this dingoes?
Yeah.
Or platypus?
I have a feeling, because you would think, because they're dogs, they'd be packs.
Yeah.
So I think the reason it stayed in my head was because they're actually, like, lone wolves, but dogs. Do you know what I mean?
Lone dogs. I think it's definitely true that they're either solo or pack animals.
Yeah. They either move in groups or alone.
Right. So, what? There's no couples.
No.
Okay.
Orgies or
solo wanking.
Lonesies, which is what I call solo wanking.
Just time for a bit of lonesies next to the campfire.
Oh, bit of lonesies.
I've just Googled it. National Geographic says these golden or reddish-coloured canids may live alone, especially young males, or in packs of up to 10 animals.
Just remember that perfectly then.
See? I nailed that. And I haven't been to Healesville Sanctuary for years.
Wow.
I should go back.
It's a great spot.
Great spot. Anyway, Regan, the four-year-old, was already sleeping in a tent and Lindy took baby Azaria to the tent to make a little bed for her and put her down to sleep. And after getting Azaria to sleep, Lindy returned to the barbecue area with her husband and son and the other couple. So they're all just hanging out. And a little while later, they heard the baby cry and Lindy got up to go and check on her. And then those famous words... My God, the dingo's got my baby. And thus began the most famous and publicised trial in Australian history that would last for decades.
My God.
It's
one more time, what's the famous quote? What did she exactly say?
My God, I think it was twice, my God, the dingo's got my baby.
Wow.
So the alarm was raised and police were called. Frank Morris was the first investigator to arrive and he shone a light across the floor of the Chamberlain's tent where he noticed blood on one of the rugs. And there were paw prints which led away from the tent entrance. Tent entrance is hard to say. Entrance to the tent. Tentrance. But the tracks faded as they hit the road where the paw prints sort of mixed in with shoe prints from humans walking all along. So they kind of lost the track. They enlisted the help as well of Aboriginal trackers who followed the dingo prints and saw drag marks in the sand. In two places, there were sort of shallow depressions in the sand, sort of looked like where something had been put down for a bit. They reckoned apparently while the dingo just had a rest. But that's, who knows. And in a couple of those sort of little marks, in those depressions, it contained the imprint of a knitted garment. So they're thinking, well, I mean, that seems to be pretty logical. Close to 300 people went out into the scrub with torches to see if they could find baby Azaria, and they formed a human chain and searched through the bush, but no sign of the baby or the dingo. And fairly quickly, the police started to have doubts about the dingo story. There were at least three men initially assigned to the case. So there was Inspector Michael Gilroy, and he believed the Chamberlains. He accepted their story. Frank Morris, the guy who was first on the scene, he didn't really make any calls just yet. And there was a guy called John Lincoln. And according to John Bryson's account in Evil Angels, which was a book written about it, John Lincoln didn't believe the dingo story, and he said, not a chance, never happened before. There's a fact you can't beat, never ever happened. It's like, well, that...
I mean, what about the phrase, it's the first time for everything?
Mm. Yeah, I don't think you can... I don't think that... They what weren't they like, suggesting... a unicorn took it, you know?
They're suggesting that they faked the blooded dog footprints?
Yeah.
Somehow?
Yep.
Yeah, I've never heard it said like that before. That sounds...
Yeah, that's
pretty...
open and shut to me.
Yeah, oh, wow. The dingo took the baby, right?
Yeah. But there's a weird case. So Gilroy, like, so this guy John is like, it's never happened before, so it can't be real. But then Gilroy, what was his first name? Michael. Michael Gilroy noted that even though none before had been fatal, there had been a series of recent dingo attacks in the park on children, like little bites and stuff. Little bites. Nothing yeah. fatal, but dingoes had kind of attacked people. So he's like, well, I don't think that's entirely fair. In fact, for the 2 years before Azaria went missing, Uluru Chief Ranger Derek Roth had been writing to the government urging a dingo cull and warning of imminent human tragedy. He had noted that dingoes in the area were becoming increasingly cheeky, approaching and sometimes biting people. For 2 years, he's been running to the government,
wow,
saying that the dingoes are biting people, and then somebody claims that a dingo has taken a child, and they're like, nah, how?
Never
not
happened.
Possible. It gets pretty ridiculous. So John Lincoln then scoffed at the possibility that the dog could lug a 10-pound baby over hundreds of yards. And apparently, to prove his point, he filled a bucket with 10 pounds of sand and tried to carry it in his mouth. But he could only do that for like less than a minute.
Was he doing it on all fours?
Okay. Yeah. I've got doubts now.
Yeah, because human mouth...
This officer was a dingo as well, wasn't he?
No, but human mouth, incredible. It's the same as a dog mouth, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
I mean, we pick everything up with our mouths too, don't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Officer Dingo, Officer Dingo.
Imagine.
Hello?
It's like Officer Woof.
Officer Woof.
Officer Woof.
That's who they should have got on this case.
Yes, get Officer Woof.
They should have put the 10 pounds in that dog's mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, Officer Woof in the little basket.
So, if this dingo couldn't carry 10 pounds in his mouth, I'm like three times the size of a dingo, so I should be able to carry 30 pounds in my mouth.
Yeah.
All right, here I go. I can't do it.
No, you can't. What a weird way to prove your fucked point.
And he was an employed... policeman.
Yeah, he was one of the investigators, yeah. So that feels good, doesn't it?
People are crying about their baby being probably killed by a dingo, and he's like, nah, watch me carry the sand with my mouth.
Yeah, trust me.
I'll just prove you.
So a week after Azaria's disappearance, a tourist named Wally Goodwin was visiting Uluru and set out for a gully at the base of the rock, hoping to take some photos of wildflowers. Seems like a very pleasant day for Wally. And he spotted shredded clothes resting near a boulder, and upon closer inspection, they proved to be a torn nappy and a jumpsuit. So he reported his discovery to Constable Morris, who arrived to collect the evidence. And the jumpsuit was bloodstained around the neck, indicating the probable death of the missing child.
Right. And then John Lincoln was like, look, I'll try and rip a nappy with my mouth.
Yeah.
And let's see how I go.
Let's see how that goes. But the bucket, you guys. The bucket.
He also couldn't even tear open a nappy.
Yeah. And
so I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a dingo and it wasn't a human.
It was something in between. It was a grizzly dog bear. Man. So on August 28th,
That's my birthday.
But like 10 years before you. Detective Sergeant Graham Charlwood took
Does
over the Chamberlain investigation.
That Macaulay Culkin was born that week.
Yep. Macaulay Culkin is 2 days old at this point, but with the time difference, he's probably like a day old. Less than 24 hours,
is he
I reckon.
Involved somehow?
Well, I mean, I can't prove that he wasn't.
Okay. Well.
So, no spoilers.
Try and,
no spoilers.
Carry a copy of Home Alone on DVD in my mouth and see,
see?
How far.
In
I can
DVD,
go.
Yes. VHS, tape, yeah. VHS, just too heavy.
1980, come on, mate.
Too heavy.
DVDs. This modern man over here.
Trying to carry a VHS of a movie that won't be filmed for about
when did VHS come out?
oh no, beta.
Do you have any idea when VHS came out? It feels like VHS lasted a really long time. Then we got DVDs, so that phased out VHS. But DVDs didn't last that long because then we just...
I feel like they probably... It feels like they lasted a similar amount of time. I have no idea.
I reckon it's slightly less for DVDs. I mean, you can still get DVDs. I mean, why? Do you know what I mean?
Imagine having a need for a DVD.
Oh, everything I need, it's just on the internet. And if it's not on any of the streaming services that I have, then it's not worth watching.
Then it doesn't exist.
That's my...
It's been deleted from history.
It's my thinking. So, okay, Detective Sergeant Graham Charwood is on the case. And he read Inspector Gilroy's initial police report and found some things to be rather suspicious.
Oh, okay.
I've read the report too. It includes tidbits of information that don't seem particularly relevant to the case. It talks about when Azaria was born and Lindy's apparently weird behaviour at the hospital. So this is from the report. It says, when bringing the baby in for a checkup, she astounded the sisters by having the baby dressed completely in black. A doctor who treated the baby said that she did not react like a normal mother. Whatever that means.
Okay.
The same doctor said that he looked up the name Azaria in a dictionary of names and meanings and found that it means sacrifice in the wilderness.
Oh, my God.
Actually, the name means whom God aids. But in the police report, he noted down that a doctor looked up the name and it meant sacrifice in the wilderness.
Azaria does?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds bonkers.
But it doesn't mean that.
No, that the doctor, like...
I know. And that they put it in the police report that she wasn't... That when she went in for a checkup after the baby was born, she wasn't... She did not react like a normal mother. What does that mean? It's that, completely irrelevant.
Is that a
irrelevant.
New doctor? It just feels like over time you'd probably notice that people react to things differently.
But they did. She did dress the baby in black, so that's suspicious.
Yeah, big Metallica fan.
I could
Metallica hadn't released an album yet. She was ahead of the curve.
Yes.
Yeah. They love Black Sabbath.
Yes.
Within 5 years, he'd be kicking himself.
Black was Azaria's colour.
Yeah.
She looked cool in it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Black is forever. It was a Melbourne baby.
Yeah, she's trendy. Hepburn, hello. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Also, a thinning colour.
Yeah, she's a little chubby.
Yeah, some babies are chubby.
That's okay. Mm. I was a real chubby baby.
Me too.
Fuck, I was cute.
Real chubby.
My head was massive. My dad called me a watermelon with legs.
Well, I was the... that's very funny to imagine.
I was cute.
I was the opposite. I came out quite thin. Then gorged myself on food.
Yes.
Ate so much that I had really bad diarrhea. And there was a photo of me in the hospital a few days old and with my bottom out underneath a sun lamp because of how much.
What the hell?
Yeah.
A few days old.
Yeah.
How did you eat so much in a few days?
I gorged myself, Jess.
Uh-huh.
I was like a Roman.
What were you eating? Pizza?
Yeah, what did you have? Don't eat Ninja Turtle.
The pizza's in those Bay of Maries.
Yeah, no good.
Don't do it.
Pizza, 3 hot dogs, 2 potato cakes, a couple of sausage rolls. Oh.
Yeah, that will give you the shits. Cake. Of course that will give you the shits.
Yeah, I paid for 1 potato cake, but they gave me 2, of course.
And you never learnt how to eat properly beyond that.
No.
You still don't know how to cook.
I don't know how to shit either. I have a sun lamp every night.
Well, how does the sun lamp come into it?
Apparently has healing properties.
But... Butt healing?
Yes.
It heals your butt?
Yeah.
Huh.
Something like that. So,
can it tone your butt?
We'll not be posting that photo online, but...
Good call.
Can it lift your butt?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I want. They thought I had a drooping...
He's got a little flat butt.
Yeah.
Give this baby a booty, stat!
I need 10 cc's of hot.
Forget squats. Get it under the lamp.
Yeah. Fuck, I've been doing squats all year. I feel like an idiot. So, yeah, they're making a few sort of judgments on Lindy. It's also worth noting at this time that Michael Chamberlain served as minister of Mount Isa's Seventh-day Adventist Church. So the media were pretty quick to make judgments about the family.
Oh. Even back then they were an anti-religious guy.
Well, maybe it was that, he's not Catholic.
The wrong kind of religion.
Yeah, I don't really get what your religion is. So
you're not Anglican, you're not Catholic.
So what are ya?
Right.
Because those are the two options.
Yeah.
Very strange.
So is that's an American church,
I think so. I don't really know heaps about it, to be honest.
So for them, there's two options, normal and not normal.
Yeah. And but even normal if you're a Catholic, if someone's an Anglican, that's not normal.
Oh,
so this is not, this is really
it's
weird.
It's still Christian.
Yeah, I know.
That's one of the wildest things to me is that there's been wars fought between people who slightly believe in Christ slightly differently.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't know heaps about religion in general, so I don't know a lot about Seventh-day
Adventists.
All
I know is that's what Jesus would have wanted. You know, he was
not
all about,
my Jesus.
He was a pedant, wasn't he? You're saying it, that's not exactly right. So I hate you. That was what Jesus was about.
That's the vibe I got, yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, we agree on something.
Very strange. So the police report also says this. To date,
Wow, really? Quite a stumbly report.
I mean, we knew it was sloppy police work, but that's terrible. I mean, get an editor.
Was that a lot of ellipses or whatever they're called?
And guess that. Just let me get Dave, my words here.
What were we doing on the plane the other day? Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my favourite impression of a captain on an airplane. And we are cruising at about 18,000 feet and we will prepare the come for landing.
Ah, good fun. Anyway, the police report also said this. To date, we have actually not one witness.
She's finally gotten a gear here.
We have actually not one witness who can say they saw the baby at Ayers Rock. But people who have assumed she was holding a baby when they've seen her holding a white bundle to her breast.
Are they saying the baby never existed?
Yeah.
They're saying the baby was a hoax.
They're saying, well, I mean, there's no witnesses that have seen the baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were. But they're like, nah, no witnesses that no, have I've seen.
I've never seen a baby.
Who's paying attention to the baby? She's in a bundle. Oh, yeah, that bundle's crying there. Yeah, I bet. Probably had a Walkman in it with some sort of a... Some sort of a prehistoric speaker system. Do they have them back then? I doubt it.
Some sort of radio transmitter.
It's like, who's paying attention to the baby? Everyone. Everyone likes to look at babies.
Yeah, everyone. It's a normal. If it's a normal thing for people to do, then me too.
She was acting suspiciously. People were like, can I see your baby?
No!
Absolutely not.
She's shy.
You can look at her from a distance, but
Where? Oh, she's crying now.
Confirm that you saw her.
You're upset.
Great. Get a photo of my bundle.
Nothing, guys.
Ezra, Uluru, behind me. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Anyway, that was a little suspicious.
That's wild that they... Okay, so I...
The police are like, well, I mean, prove that there was a baby.
I've never heard that before.
First, they think they've named her sacrifice in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now they think she didn't
exist.
She didn't
exist anyway.
What you did, you named your baby, who doesn't exist... Sacrifice in the wilderness. But that's also, a fact. That's all a fact. So where do we move from here?
She didn't exist. But also earlier in the same police report, they were talking about the doctors who treated this baby only months ago. They spoke to doctors who confirmed they treated the child.
Were in on it.
They were just so distracted by looking up the name that they forgot to look if the baby was there.
Oh, they're just like, well, that's a blanket, so I guess it's a baby in there.
And I'm a doctor.
You got a blanket, you got a baby.
It's very strange.
You say that a lot.
I found this really great resource, famoustrials.com, and it went through everything. This is a little paragraph from it now. In places around Australia, ranging from laboratories to wildlife parks, investigators...
I say laboratories.
What do you say, Dave?
Laboratories.
Okay, there you go. Investigators conducted experiments to test the veracity of Lindy's account of Azaria's disappearance. Blood, vegetation and hair samples found on Azaria's clothing were examined. Dead dingoes shot at the Ayers Rock region following the disappearance were dissected by vets looking for either human bone or human protein. So weird.
They also got them, the dead dingoes, to try to carry buckets of sand. And yeah. They couldn't do it.
They couldn't lift it up. Couldn't lift their head.
Oh, you reckon they could pick up a baby?
Case closed.
They can't pick up. This dead dingo can't pick up shit.
Then you must have quit.
Tears in the fibres of Azaria's clothing were studied as well. Did the tears appear to be caused by a dingo's teeth or by some human instruments?
Did they know what was causing it?
Like a banjo or...
At Cleland Park Wildlife Reserve in Adelaide, dingoes were tossed meat wrapped in babies' nappies so that the nappy could be studied and compared to Azaria's. From these various efforts, investigators began to build a case for murder.
It sounds like they lost their mind.
They lost their fucking minds.
Is there a moment when you're throwing a nappy filled with meat to a dingo and you start to question, what am I doing?
What am I in this business for?
What am I hoping to find here?
Justice, the truth, Jess.
I don't want dingoes to be blamed.
Meat filled nappy.
Case for murder against a baby that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's
like
double jeopardy.
Get your fucking story straight. They're just throwing so many different things out there.
No one ever saw the baby, but someone did see a nappy filled with meat being thrown on the barbecue that night.
All of a sudden, that cop's back with a nappy full of meat in his jaws. Can't even carry it. Can't even make it all the way to the barbecue.
I've been crawling
to the barbecue.
The baby cue. Oh, no. I did not.
No good.
Sorry.
Oh, that was an offensive pun.
It was not.
It was not.
It was an offensive misspeak.
I plead the fifth and not guilty.
I'm going to America to plead the fifth.
There was also rumours that the Chamberlains were somehow linked to the Jonestown mass suicide 2 years earlier.
Oh, my God. What?
How?
Is that because, were they vaguely related churches or something?
I tried to look into that. I'm not really sure. Maybe, but also I think it was just like something kind of weird that had happened and they were now saying this couple is weird, so we're going to just lump the two together.
Right.
I heard they started World War II.
Yeah.
Really?
So.
Dave, I'm pleading Beethoven's the fifth.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Is that that one? Ba, 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 ba. That's the disco version from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Fever. And live from Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta over there. Little quiet time for me.
Okay. Matt is having a quiet time. So, yeah, they thought some people linked it to Jonestown, or others said that she might have been killed to atone for sins of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I mean, who's saying this?
This is just rumours.
People are saying this, and they're writing these rumours down into their official police reports.
The media is completely fucked this whole time, by the way. It's a total trial by media, which is such a weird, cliched phrase to throw around, but it very much is. So an inquest set up?
Yeah.
Arranged.
Held.
Thank you. Fuck.
Hold them close.
Oh, that's another thing. People were also suspicious that no one's seen the inquest. People were also suspicious that Michael and Lindy's demeanour didn't match what they would expect from a couple that had tragically lost a child.
Oh, God.
I think we've now figured out that people deal with grief differently.
Yeah,
but it's funny that not that long ago people are like, well, there's one way to grieve and you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's not what I think I'd do, even though I've never been in that horrific situation
exactly.
And I pray I never will. But if I was,
I wouldn't look like that. It's really strange.
Bizarre.
You're not crying enough.
Yeah. No, too much.
Yeah, too much.
You're crying too much. That's you're faking it.
Suspicious amount of crying.
It's fucked. Oh, so the first inquest into Azaria's disappearance took place in December of 1980, 4 months after the incident. TV cameras filmed a lot of the proceedings. It was the first live telecast of Australian court proceedings.
Ah, because we don't really do that.
No, of course we don't. Why would you?
It's big in America, isn't it? They do broadcast the big cases, do they?
But do they broadcast the whole thing or just like...
I'm thinking of Judge Judy, aren't I?
Yes.
I think they might do the...
There is trial by Kyle now, so we've got that.
They might broadcast things like the sentencing and stuff like that.
Jess wasn't joking. There's a real show in Australia called Trial by Kyle and it's hosted by a radio shock jock.
Yep, and that was definitely stolen from my radio segment.
Oh, dog axe.
Yeah, it's the same thing. There was also Husey, We Have a Problem, and that was exactly the same as Text Therapist.
Which we happened to come up with.
Which one? Dog Axe?
We have
dog
a
Axe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dog Axe you helped me come up with.
We came up with Husey, We've Got a Problem.
Oh, no.
We said, what we got to get
I didn't
is...
even think about that, Jess. Can we sue? Can we go on trial by Kyle and be like, actually, this show is infringing on our personal copyright?
I don't want to ever talk to Kyle Sanderlands.
Okay.
And I think we'd have to be on his show.
But that could be real good for us.
Ugh.
We could be on trial by Kyle.
I don't want to be on trial.
It could be
by
our
Kyle.
Big break.
Oh, yuck.
I reckon they'd actually put us on if we were talking about the show. That'd be quite funny. Anyway, trial by Kyle, it exists.
Anyway, sadly, it does. Okay, so Ashley McNay for the Northern Territory laid out the case for human intervention in Azaria's death. He argued that the evidence suggested that the clothes were put in place, not dragged by a dingo. Moreover, he added, the damage to the clothes is inconsistent with being caused by a dingo. He questioned Lindy Chamberlain, but generally failed to show her as a mother with either the will or motive to kill her own child. So he was kind of like questioning her, but not getting anything.
And
like,
what's his profession, sorry?
He was just working for the Northern Territory.
Okay, right.
He was a dramaturg.
He did a lot of research into the historical period of the play. I'm an expert on Bertolt Brecht. I fail to see how that's relevant. Guilty!
It feels a lot like that in this trial.
He had a powerful voice. I agree with him.
Yeah, all right. I'm with this guy. What
beautiful
does he
speaking
say?
Voice.
Played by Brian Brown.
How you going, guys?
The role of Ashley McNay will be played by Brian Brown. You know when they announce the understudy?
Yeah. And everyone's got to collectively hold in their sadness. Tonight the role of Harry Potter will not be played by Daniel Radcliffe. It'll be played by some guy called Chris.
Then it turns out Chris is amazing.
Yeah. Chris is great.
And then Daniel Radcliffe has to come back because he's just having a day off, and he comes back and everyone's like, bring back Chris!
Where's Chris? We love Chris.
I didn't know you were such a theatre head, Dave, referencing a movie.
Look, I had to go with the masses. Look,
I think he did well.
I just referenced Bertolt Brecht, mate. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's lost the
what
masses.
What a fantastic name.
Bertolt
Brecht. Anyway.
Get Brecht.
Oh, you got Brecht.
Got Brecht.
Alice Springs.
That's good stuff.
Alice Springs magistrate and coroner Dennis Barrett ruled that Azaria met her death when attacked by a wild dingo whilst asleep in her family's tent, and that neither of her parents were in any degree whatsoever responsible for her death.
So that's the result of the inquest.
The initial inquest
is saying, hey, they're not lying.
They're not lying. They're not in. It's not their fault.
Good. Okay.
We apologise for putting them through this. Probably. Imagine that.
Yep. And that absolutely should have been the end of the case. And it was not. So the Northern Territory Police and prosecutors were dissatisfied with this finding, and investigations continued, leading to a second inquest in Darwin in September of 81, so the following year.
That's pretty irregular, isn't it, to want a second inquest?
And a third.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers.
That makes it sound like, that's not the one we wanted.
Yeah, sorry.
Go again.
Exactly.
Best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Best 3 out of 4.
Not guilty. No, I reckon he did it. Go again.
So based on ultraviolet photographs of Azaria's jumpsuit, a guy called James Cameron of the London Hospital Medical College alleged that there was an incised wound around the neck of the jumpsuit, in other words, a cut throat, and that no dingo had been involved in her disappearance. When she was told this, Lindy apparently said, "I didn't know there were any dingo experts in London." Boom!
Yeah,
that guy got Brecht.
Oh, yeah,
get Brecht,
he got
mate.
Turtle Brecht, big time.
There's what, some great stuff about James Cameron coming up.
What the inside? He said it was an incisor wound.
I think so. Yeah,
incised
wound.
Isn't that a thing a dog has? An incisor.
I don't know what it is.
I'm throwing his testimony out of my court.
Don't worry, you wouldn't be the first. And you shan't be the last. The second inquest into the death of Azaria opened in Alice Springs on December 14, 1981, before coroner Jerry P. Galvin. It was alleged that Lindy Chamberlain took Azaria from the campsite on the evening of the 17th of August 1980 and murdered her in their yellow Tirana with a sharp instrument, probably scissors.
So that's a type of car.
Type of car.
Classic Aussie car.
They claimed that she had hidden the baby's body in a large camera case, and then it was alleged that at a later time, while other people were searching the campsite, she disposed of the body. The best part is, and I think this is sort of in a later inquest, I didn't write it down though, but they sort of like, they came up with their own timeline of what she would have done, and it was like fucking wild and impossible. But they're like, yep, so that's it. Like, so she had to go to the car, kill the baby, somehow put blood in the tent, and then go back. Oh, she had to get baked beans from the car because she comes back to the campsite and she fed Aiden some beans. We know that. People saw her do that. So she had to do that. And then she cleaned that up, and then she went back to the tent and she pretended that she – like, it's just – it makes no sense and it's impossible.
Like, the amount of details they had to make up.
Totally.
Like, the camera bag, that just would not be true.
Yeah.
And there'd be no traces of any of the DNA – blood or anything in the
they
camera.
They found canine hair in the tent, and the Chamberlains did not have a dog. It's like, I reckon that's a pretty good clue.
So I didn't realize, because this is a famous case in Australia. Yeah. I always assumed that there was, for some reason for doubt. But it just sounds like they'd lost it. It was some sort of weird
religious
profiling thing.
It was like 50-50. Some people were like, they're innocent. Some people thought they were guilty. There was sort of no... It was huge. It was this huge thing in Australia.
Yeah, I feel a little bit guilty to admit that my mental association with the case is that the family are a bit dodgy somehow because there's been so many inquests. But hearing it, they don't...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Sound like it at all.
No.
I hate that I had that.
But of course you did, because that's what we would. Yeah, that's what we were raised.
I never looked into it, but now you're reading out the stuff. It's like, what?
Yeah.
One of the main things I remember knowing was that she did not react right. She did not grieve properly.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big things. And that was like the court of public opinion.
Well,
like,
that's it.
And she's not really grieving, right? That's not what she's looking very stern. That's not how I'd be handling it. Bizarre.
I think people sort of like looked at her, looked at the way she looked, looked at the like the church they were a part of, and just went, "You're a bit odd. I'm making a judgment on you." And by odd, I just mean like not the complete status quo. She wasn't like, there's nothing strange.
And then now they're alleging she's some sort of criminal mastermind.
Totally.
She kind of just, from the footage I've seen, she's just sort of reacting with a stiff upper lip, you know, like
what
is often seen as being a virtuous way of dealing with things. Oh, it's real tough times.
Stoic.
But she's being stoic and she's keeping the family together. And they're like, that's not right.
But they've got
she should be a mess.
No motive as to why she possibly would.
They do have a motive. She named her.
Yeah, that's
Sacrifice of the Wild.
So they just thought that you're right, Matt. The stuff they had to make up to fill in this case to suit their outcome was very strange. Many of the questions directed at the Chamberlains concerned the presence of blood in the family car. So it was a biologist called Joy Kuhl who testified.
Joy Kuhl?
K-U-H-L. Kuhl, I guess?
Holy shit. That is a sick name.
It's a good name.
Joy Kuhl. Wait, is it an awful name? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I can't tell. It's one of those ones that's on the border.
Yeah.
It sounds like I call to the stand, Joy Kuhl, and the whole courtroom goes, what? What the hell is that?
And she walks in with sunglasses on.
Yeah, everywhere she goes,
she bursts,
she's like,
in the door.
This happens everywhere I go.
She was a biologist and she testified that she found
testify
fetal blood beneath the passenger seat of the Tirana. So am I saying that right?
Fetal blood.
Fetal, like a fetus.
Yeah, baby blood.
So, and I will explain what that is. Did I put it there? I didn't. Huh. Maybe I'd put it later. I'm just going to keep reading and hope I get to it.
Great.
James Cameron, he's back. He claimed in his testimony that the tear found on Azaria's jumpsuit could hardly have come from a dingo. It's more consistent with scissors, he said. By the way, James Cameron had also given crucial evidence in a case in England, which was later overturned when his expert evidence was proven wrong. So it's good to be using him again.
This is when he got into making movies about blue people.
Yeah. A reporter from Sydney called Malcolm Brown made this comment about the case and the two inquests.
Malcolm Brown. Mal Brown. He was one of the baddest men in VFL, AFL history. Just a real bad guy. Or not bad guy, look, a fine guy probably, but he just punched a lot of people in the football field.
Right. He also said this about the two inquests.
Big bad Mal Brown. I bet he said something real bad.
I want to punch the inquest.
He said the first inquest was about dingoes. This one's about blood, because that's all that the prosecution had. The key evidence supporting this allegation was the jumpsuit, as well as a highly contentious forensic report claiming to have found evidence of fetal hemoglobin in stains in the front seat of the Chamberlain's car. However, evidence was presented that adult blood also passed the test used for fetal hemoglobin,
okay.
And that other organic compounds can produce similar results on that particular test, including mucus from the nose, so snot, or chocolate milkshakes.
What?
So there was some kind of stain on the seat. That's all. That's all I have.
Jeez, science had come a long way in 1980. It's either fetal blood or
boogers.
Adult blood or boogers or Big M. Oh, it's a liquid though. We're confident it used to be liquid. Pretty confident.
Or like a gel.
We think it's either a gel or a liquid or maybe some sort of a dust.
It wasn't a gas, though.
Almost definitely not a gas. We're 95% sure not a gas. There's some chance it's a
75%
gas.
75% sure it's not a gas.
But definitely, we think it was a stain. We think there was something there.
Oh, no, it was a shadow. Never mind.
You can't trust a family that stains their car. I mean,
they're clearly murderers.
Chamberlains, they're famously a strawberry milk kind of family. So it's definitely not chalky milk.
We're putting that out.
There's no chalky milk here.
No one's drinking chocolate milk in this car.
More of a strawberry.
Let me tell you about that. It's
that is wild. When you said highly contentious, I'm like, oh, let's see how contentious this is. Is this high? Oh, no, it is.
It's quite contentious.
That's higher than I was expecting.
I think just the first fact that, like, adult blood could be,
yes,
could match as well. Like, oh, anyway. So Lindy Chamberlain, she's questioned a lot about the garments that Azaria was wearing.
Do you like milk? Don't you like milk? Answer
what flavour milk? What flavour milk?
Look at me.
Drink?
Look at me. Do you like milk?
Don't look at them. Look at me. What drink? What milk you want? I'm getting you a milk. What flavour? Say it quick. Don't think.
Say quick. Don't think.
Oh, banana.
Nesquik? Is it Nesquik?
Chocolate. You like chocolate milk? Admit it. I don't know.
Wait. Sorry. No, you don't. I mean, you don't like chocolate milk.
You don't like chocolate milk. You don't like chocolate milk. You. I rest my case.
Lindy, do you bleed? Do you bleed? So they're quizzing her about the clothes that Azaria was wearing, and she claimed that Azaria was wearing a matinee jacket, it's basically a cardigan, over the jumpsuit, but the jacket was never found.
Oh, okay.
How convenient, they said.
Even, like, yeah.
Isn't that it's so dumb, but...
Or any of that stuff where you're going, oh, you don't have all these fine details down properly, even though that's not proven not to be the case, but even if she remembered her wearing a jacket and she didn't, on this hectic night,
totally,
that's
not
the most
the
traumatic
the
thing you've ever gone through. Yeah.
But like, okay, so if a dingo took the baby, it's taken the clothes too, and a little cardigan's going to come off. It could be anywhere out... It's a very big place.
Oh, so naive, Jess. So naive.
Cardigans never come off.
Cardigans never come off.
I tried to remove one with my mouth, and I couldn't do it. And if I can't, how could some dumb dingo do it?
Carrying a bucket.
I put a cardigan on a dingo and try to rip it off with my teeth, and I couldn't. So I think that proves my point.
But also, can I just say, side note, that dingo looked real cute.
It did look cute. Going on a matinee performance.
He's a cosy little dingo now, isn't he?
Went to see Harry Potter at the theatre.
Oh, Chris did a great job that night.
Chris was fantastic.
And do you know what else was real cute? That dingo used those little opera goggles. It was very cute. What are they called? Binoculars. I love those little dingoes.
I like to call them opera goggles.
Also, by the way, I married this dingo now.
Then I tried to ride it like a little horse. Couldn't support my weight.
Couldn't even support my weight.
I mean,
tiny little jaw.
Bloody pathetic.
I'll rest my case.
I was sitting on its mouth. Couldn't even carry my weight in its jaw.
I don't know who this character is, but I love it.
I think he's named John Lincoln.
I'm married to a dingo now. I'm married to a dingo. We like a simple life. In her defence, though, eyewitness evidence was presented of dingoes having been seen in the area of that night. I mean, I already mentioned three just within that one barbecue area. All witnesses claimed to believe the Chamberlain's story. One witness, a nurse, also reported having heard a baby's cry after the time when the prosecution alleged Azaria had been murdered. So I don't know why they mentioned that she's a nurse. Maybe it makes her feel more credible, but they're like, look, a nurse heard a baby.
Are they saying that if the baby was already dead, we wouldn't be hearing it? Azaria has already been murdered.
Has been murdered.
Pre-murdered, put in the camera case, whatever.
Yes.
She's not going to be screaming out.
Right.
Yeah. You're
not going to hear it. And the nurse is like, no, I heard a baby.
And
pre-murdered. If the baby's been pre-murdered, this is something that Dave just said.
You can go to a supermarket and get a pre-murdered chicken.
You can.
Kind of, that's
you don't have to do it yourself.
What a modern world we live in.
I know, it's very exciting.
Could I get one pre-murdered chicken? That's what you used to have to say. But now they only do pre-murdered ones, so you can just say chicken.
You don't have to specify.
It's much quicker.
Yeah.
They don't generally hand you a live chicken and they go, oh, did you mean pre-murdered? And you go, obviously. What am I, a dingo?
Now, if you want a live chicken, you have to say, can I have a non-murdered chicken?
Yeah.
Then they know what you mean.
Also, you can't get that at shops. You got to go to a farm.
One non-murdered chicken. Okay.
All right. That's weird. This one died of natural causes. There's an engineer.
I'm going to have to be more specific. One live chicken.
Yeah, it's like there's such an easy word for it. One not dead chicken. An engineer called Les Harris, who had conducted dingo research for over a decade.
Okay.
So what do we think about Les?
I reckon he has lots of friends.
I think he's going to be a quirky character.
He said, contrary to James Cameron's findings, a dingo's teeth can shred through material as tough as motor vehicle seatbelts.
Wow.
I could have just said car seatbelts. He also cited an example of a captive female dingo removing a bundle of meat from its wrapping paper and leaving the paper intact. Because you know how they were like, the nappy's not all shredded up too much.
Right.
They're quite neat eaters.
Yeah, and this is someone who has studied dingoes for a decade. Evidence was also presented to the effect that a dingo was strong enough to carry a kangaroo, and a report of the removal of a 3-year-old girl by a dingo from the back seat of a tourist's car at the same camping area just a few weeks before was also witnessed by those parents.
A 3-year-old?
3-year-old's a little bit bigger than a 9-week-old.
Is that true?
Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to trust you in that.
So
Hang on. Let me just summarise for you.
Okay.
So we've got an eyewitness account of a dingo picking up a child much bigger.
In the same place.
In the exact same place, only a few weeks earlier. We've got somebody who has studied dingoes for a decade saying that they can actually rip through things like really tough materials, so clothing and nappies and stuff like that would be very easy. But James Cameron from London gave evidence that based on studying plaster casts of dingo jaws, it was impossible for a dingo to open its jaws wide enough to encompass a child's head. That is based on looking at a plaster cast of a dingo.
He went to plaster of Paris or whatever it's called. He got glitter on it, painted it, got it put in the kiln, he got it all green and sparkly.
Yeah, obviously.
And then he put his head in, which is basically a baby's head.
Yeah.
He's got a baby's intelligence. So he put the plaster cast jaw and it couldn't get around his head.
Isn't that fucked? That he's like, nah, but...
Why are they going to this London guy?
I have no idea. He's been discredited once before.
It sounds like he's the kind of the guy who goes, what do you want me to say? Because I'll say it.
Yeah.
But why does the Northern Territory police want that answer?
Because one guy has like the feeling, I reckon they're lying.
Yeah, they just don't believe it.
So they're shopping around.
They don't like her, so they don't believe her. Maybe it's that.
And she's... A little bit, slightly strange religion.
these cops sound like real cowboys. And it does sound, because it sort of almost sounds fair, because you've got, on the one hand, you've got a dingo expert. So you've always got to have balance.
Yes.
So they've got a guy who clearly knows nothing about dingoes.
Who's never seen a dingo in his life.
Well, he's seen a plaster cast.
True.
Sparkly.
And he tried to open it, and he's like, that won't open far enough. Won't open,
so.
Because it was, it had hinges that were too tight.
Okay.
But once I put in the kiln, it wouldn't move at all.
So
unbelievable.
I mean, it's amazing that dingoes can even eat anything.
A dingo would have to snap its face in half to eat, and I've never seen one do that.
They can
actually only eat butter beans, so it's pretty tough for dingoes.
Swallow them whole.
And they're not Australia's native beans, so they've actually all died out from they're extinct.
They don't exist.
They can't eat.
Yeah. So,
and neither did that baby ever.
No. So. And also we live in a simulation.
The earth is flat.
Yeah. So the defense's case was rejected by the jury.
Do you believe that, Dave?
Everything I've said today, I believe.
You believe the earth is flat?
Yes.
He just said it. He admitted it, Jess.
I've posted about it on Instagram.
Jess doesn't even look surprised.
Didn't we know this?
Maybe we did.
You don't have a great memory or listening skills.
That's true.
Those things are true.
Admit that.
Whatever you just said. I can't remember, and I didn't hear it anyway.
I actually think the earth is flat on one side, and then there's several other sides because it's more of a pyramid shape.
Oh, more of a trapezoid.
Yeah. Trapezoid. Yeah. Ooh.
You've heard of these pyramid schemes. I think of this one more of a trapezoid. Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, you mix trapezium with trapezoid.
Trapezoid.
That's a new shape that I've come up with.
I like it.
Copyrighted. Trapezoid.
So despite people like James Cameron being batshit, the defense's case was rejected by the jury. Lindy Chamberlain was convicted of murder.
What?
On the 29th of October, 1982.
So this is more than just a hearing now. This is actually a criminal trial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, a jury?
A jury.
So a jury going, well, this dingo man's got some fancy words, but look at her. She's stoic.
Yeah.
That's not right.
But also, I mean, this was such a hugely publicised case that everyone on the jury has already got an opinion about her.
Right.
This is all...
I no longer trust the system.
Well, that's why we have sub judice here, where you have to be very careful with court reporting because you can influence the people's opinions on someone and then they end up in the jury. But now this has already been going for 2 years. People have already made up a mind about her. And so whatever...
They're post-judicy.
Whatever they hear that supports their opinion, they'll believe.
But the judge would have said at the start, guys, just put that out of your mind.
And they would have done that, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
Normal people without any legal training would have done that.
Yeah.
So she was convicted of murder and sentenced to life imprisonment.
Oh, my God.
And Michael Chamberlain was found guilty as an accessory after the fact and was given an 18-month suspended sentence.
I'm almost like, it's almost something nice about, you know, it's the nightmare scenario where no one believes you.
Yeah.
But at least they both are like, we know we didn't do it. That at least they had each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but obviously they're separated now.
It's a horrible and awful situation, but at least you know someone believes you for real. Someone knows the truth.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I'm just thinking of those, you know those nightmare thriller movies?
Yeah.
Where everyone's like,
no one believes
you. She's
lost
her mind. But you're like, no, I'm the only one who's got my mind.
Yeah. And then you start to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And you start yelling, I'm the only one who's got my mind. It's not helping.
I've got my mind. Look at me, I've got it. It's you who does not have your mind. I have my mind. Release me.
It was you who was in
unhand me, officer. I was just eating a succulent meal.
Succulent Chinese meal.
Succulent Chinese meal.
Ah, yes. Ready to receive my limp penis. If you don't know what we're talking about, type succulent Chinese meal into YouTube and enjoy what is honestly probably the funniest video on YouTube.
Yeah, agreed. So Lindy's been sentenced to life in prison. At the time she was sentenced, she was pregnant with her fourth child.
Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever been angry in this studio.
I'm so angry.
So she was taken from prison to hospital to give birth to a girl named Kalia. Lindy said in an interview recently, it was a very painful process, actually, because I knew the minute she was born, they were going to take her off me. So every moment of birth, I fought it. I was like, you keep her inside and she's yours. The minute she's out, she's not. Because they've just been like, it's been a couple of years. They're sort of as best they can going about their lives. They didn't think she was going to get life imprisonment. So
she
just,
didn't do it.
They're just growing their family. No, she
didn't. And they had a hearing that said she didn't do it.
Yes.
Yeah, we believe you. You didn't do it.
I mean, no spoilers or anything. I'm assuming she didn't do it. It sounds like all the evidence. I mean, you are pretty biased.
Yeah, I'm definitely presenting a very biased case.
How much do you even know about the dingoes?
I know they can't open their mouths, so...
I know dingoes can't melt steel beams.
I know that they're either solo or in packs. I know that.
Mm, one of the two. You
can't trust them.
I've seen them at the zoo, and they're a little bit cute.
Yeah.
There. I said it. Everyone was thinking it. Dogs are cute. Anyway.
I've got my mind!
It is you who do not have your mind! But in 1986, another person's tragedy would see a dramatic turn in Lindy Chamberlain's case.
Wait, what? 1986?
Yes.
She's been in jail for 5 years or something.
Like, yeah, 3-4 years.
Without her baby, her new baby.
Yep.
And she's lost her other baby.
Yes. And her
and being accused of murdering
And obviously
baby.
Her two older boys are, you know, older now. So she's been away from her kids.
And so what are they out in? They were in foster care.
Well, they would have been Michael with Michael, I assume.
But didn't he get out
in? What's a suspended sentence?
Oh, right.
It goes on your record, but you don't.
If you do anything in a certain period, then that gets doubled
I guess
on
so,
your
yeah.
sentence or whatever.
So the kids are at least still with Michael, but Lindy's in jail. So 86, an English hiker named David Brett visited Uluru in January of 86 and climbed the rock one evening. Unfortunately, David fell and was killed. 8 days after his accident, his body was discovered below the bluff where he'd lost his footing in an area full of dingo lairs. As police scoured the area looking for missing bones that might have been carried off by dingoes, they discovered a once white jacket of a baby. It was Azaria's missing jacket.
Whoa.
A matinee jacket.
A matinee jacket, yes.
Inside one of the burrows.
Just like in the area close to where David's body fell.
Right.
If he'd fallen anywhere else,
she might still be in jail.
Yeah.
How terrifying is the phrase, like, what all those dingo lairs? If
yeah.
You fall
yeah.
Oh.
So dingo lairs right there at
the
Uluru.
The base of Uluru, yeah.
Whoa.
Well, because there's all, I mean, it's an enormous.
Have you been there? We didn't
I
talk about
it. No.
I haven't been
I'd love
either.
To.
No.
I've been to Darwin. I went to Simpsons Gap.
Yeah, I was with you.
Yeah.
We went to Alice Springs.
It's not called Simpsons Gap. That's the...
That's the English name.
Yes. But beautiful. And that was just outside of Darwin. But I've never been anywhere near the dead,
just outside
the
of Alice.
Dead centre.
Yeah, sadly, Gap. I...
Alice, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it's out of Alice.
Went to go in year 11. There's a camp to Kakadu National Park. And on the way there, you go through Uluru. But I got very sick with tonsillitis.
Aww.
But I didn't want to miss out on the whole... camp. So 4 days in, I met them in Alice Springs after they'd been to Uluru. So and then I picked up and had a great time, but just missed out on seeing.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gone while we were in Alice Springs, but it's like a 4-hour drive from there or something. We couldn't have done it in a day. But it's truly beautiful. But it's massive, and there's all sorts of like other formations and stuff around it. So it's a huge area. So just by chance, by luck,
oh, yeah,
really,
so they found the
They found
jacket.
A jacket that they were like, what jacket doesn't exist? But it did.
Simpsons Gap is called Rungut Jerpa.
Right. So given the skepticism prosecutors had expressed for Lindy's story about the missing jacket, there seemed little choice now. The chief minister ordered Lindy's release from prison.
Really? Can you do that?
Well, yeah.
I suppose so.
I guess I found new evidence that...
So but they don't have to have another trial. It's just a guy can...
So she's been overrule. Released from prison, but obviously people are still like... You killed your baby.
Right, because you were found guilty.
And then you put the jacket in a dingo's lair. We all know
somehow, from prison,
and then you
did
pushed
that.
A man off a cliff.
Really? But, do you think she did that?
It was
too?
A lot of effort.
No, I do not think that. Just the record.
In 87, a royal commission began and investigated it even further. So this is 7 years after it happened. They're still in court. It's just a nightmare. So in May of 87, Justice Trevor Morling issued a 379-page report. One more page!
Just
Trevor!
The end.
Fuck.
One more page.
Oh, that's a frustrating page that just says the end on it, though, right? Mm. Write a couple more paragraphs. Anyway, in summary, I'd love to say thank you so much for reading, taking the time. It really does mean a lot. This has been a lot of effort on my part, but I can't stress this enough that without an audience, these words are nothing.
Mm.
You know, without a reader, what is a writer?
Mm.
But a bonkers man in a room tippity-tapping on a typewriter, but not for me, as you are here today to see these words on the paper, the end.
I'm afraid you've just gone over to 381. You're going to have to write another 9 pages. But it's not the end. Or was it?
For it was I.
It was I who had the succulent Chinese meal.
Anyway, so he's released this very big report, critical of the investigatory techniques of Joy Cool and James Cameron and other key prosecution witnesses in the trial. He put great weight on the credible accounts offered by the Chamberlain's fellow campers, noting, "It is extraordinary that the persons at the barbecue area at the time of and immediately after Azaria's disappearance accepted Mrs. Chamberlain's story and noted nothing about her appearance and conduct suggesting that she had suddenly killed her daughter." So he's like, you really needed to listen to
the people that were
actually
witnesses
more, because they were like, yeah, we, you know, like she wasn't covered in blood and holding a knife. Mm. Morling concluded, "I am far from being persuaded that Mrs. Chamberlain's account of having seen a dingo near the tents was false." And he also said that if the evidence before the commission had been given at the trial judge would have been obliged to direct the jury to acquit the Chamberlains. So he was like, this is all just a big fuck up. So on September 15, 1988, the Northern Territory Court of Criminal Appeals unanimously quashed all convictions against Lindy and Michael Chamberlain. A month later, the Chamberlains held a victory feast and invited guests
at a succulent meal.
They held it at the Avondale College Cafeteria, and among those they invited, the Chamberlains invited defence witnesses and lawyers, a couple whose daughter was taken from their car by a dingo, a journalist and politicians who'd supported them during their long ordeal, and their lawyer Ken Crispin, in a speech, praised the Chamberlains for being remarkably free of bitterness or self-pity. So they're having a bit of a celebration. That same year, 1988, a film based on the case was released. It was called Evil Angels in Australia. It was released as A Cry in the Dark outside of Australia. So what we talked about earlier, it starred Sam Neill and Meryl Streep, which is a wild choice. But also a fun fact, and I don't know if you guys know this, and if you do, I'm going to feel like an idiot for being so excited about it, because I didn't know.
I was excited when I first said it, I reckon.
Do you know what I mean? It was also the debut role for Melbourne comedian, actor and friend Nicolette Minster.
Really?
One of her siblings.
She played Carlia Chamberlain. She played Meryl Streep's daughter. Her first ever role was a four-year-old. I had Nick on First Date with Jess, and we talked about all sorts of stuff. She didn't fucking mention this. And then she goes on Dan Connell's podcast, and I'm listening to it because I love Dan Connell and I love Nick Minster. And he's talking about it, and I was like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
She plays Meryl Streep's daughter, her first ever role as a four-year-old.
I think I might have heard her talk about it on Josh Earle's podcast.
Yeah, right. It blew my mind. I was like, you know the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
I was like, one to Meryl.
Oh,
easy.
Meryl knows Kevin Bacon?
I assume. She's probably Meryl.
She would.
She knows everyone.
That's so cool.
Blows my mind. And I know Nicolette, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you know her.
I know her. We're pals, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, if I see her in the street, it wouldn't just be like a nod. Like, we'd stop and chat, you know?
Holy moly.
Yeah, we're that close.
And I imagine the next time I know what you're going to mention to her when you stop and chat.
No, I'll ask her how she is, Matt.
You'll ask how Meryl is.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's Meryl?
Yeah, that's what I meant. She is Meryl.
Yeah.
How is she?
The royal she.
Also, I didn't know this, Meryl's performance received an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress of 89.
Bam. One of her 21 or whatever it is nominations.
Wild.
And in 1990, Lindy wrote a book called Through My Eyes, and in the book she said that the film was 95% accurate and that no other actress would have been able to play her better than Meryl Streep.
Wow.
It's like, okay, you think the best actress ever, no one could do a better job. Okay.
That's badass.
Pretty crazy. In the last pages of her book, Lindy wrote, "And now we wait. We wait for the Northern Territory to pay us what they owe." And that day finally came 2 years later when she received $1.3 million in compensation from the Northern Territory government for wrongful imprisonment.
That is probably not enough.
Probably not enough. But even though she's free and the government's admitted wrongful imprisonment, the public was still split on whether or not she was guilty. Like, so she's still just trying to go about her life, but, like, people aren't trusting her, or they do believe her, but some don't. And I think that's how we kind of came to know that name, because it was always sort of like a, but did she?
Yes, I've had that association until tonight, and I feel bad about it.
But I'd done no research into it. You're just a kid, and you just sort of
pick up society's view.
Totally. And, it was kind of like a, it's kind of like an O.J. Simpson thing in a way. You know?
Except the
it's
opposite.
Kind of the reverse of that.
Yeah, I know, but we all still think he's guilty.
Yeah.
Whereas they then proved that she wasn't, and we're all still like,
right, yeah.
Wait, that's kind of the same. Anyway, I've confused myself. The Chamberlains actually got divorced in 1991, and Lindy remarried a guy called Rick Creighton, and she's now known as Lindy Chamberlain Creighton. And Michael also remarried a woman named Ingrid Bergner.
Ingrid Bergman? Whoa!
You paused at a real funny spot there. Ingrid
I couldn't see my screen properly. And they had another daughter as well named Zara. And in August 2010, on the 30th anniversary of the death of Azaria, Lindy appealed on her website to have the cause of death amended on Azaria's death record because it was still saying unknown.
Right.
Even though she'd been, like, acquitted, like, she was free. So just to wrap up.
And that hasn't happened?
In February 2012, a fourth coroner's inquest into the death of Azaria Chamberlain was opened by Territory Coroner Elizabeth Morris. Morris considered new evidence concerning dingo attacks on humans, including three fatal attacks on children since the third inquest, before concluding in an opinion announced on June 12, 2012, that a dingo did indeed kill Azaria. Morris wrote, "The evidence is sufficiently adequate, clear, cognate, and exact to exclude all other reasonable probabilities than that a dingo entered the tent where Lindy and Michael Chamberlain's young child lay resting on that August night 32 years earlier. Lindy Chamberlain Creighton stated the obvious when she said, "This battle to get the legal truth about what caused Azaria's death has taken too long." Still, however, she took consolation in knowing you can get justice when you think all is lost. She hoped that her baby's death helped convince Australians that dingoes are dangerous animals. And she said, "We live in a beautiful country, but it is dangerous and we would ask all Australians to take proper precautions." And even with the case of the death on Azaria's death certificate changed from unknown to dingo attack, the Chamberlain's attorney, Stuart Tipple, great name, wondered whether any amount of evidence would satisfy some Australians who still blame Lindy. He said, "I could show them a video of the dingo taking the baby and it wouldn't convince them."
Wild that they have who's got such a strong opinion on something that I always find that weird when there's experts have gone through it and it's like, oh, this is pretty open and shut. Yeah, but I've got my doubts.
Exactly.
I've got a feeling.
Yeah. It's real weird.
And just like a couple of extra things. This is something that Lindy said. She said she holds no grudges for her false imprisonment. You totally could. But she said, if I hadn't gone through all that, we wouldn't have the laws that we've got in Australia right now. We've got an independent forensic science now. It used to be all police. And as a result of that trial, if I'd been let out at the time, if I'd gotten a not guilty at the trial, we wouldn't have those laws. There are things that what's happened to me has been able to make it better for other Australians, and for that I'm grateful. So that's...
just sounds like she's...
pretty level-headed.
Super level-headed.
She was on what's Arndo's show?
Barnsley, Arnsley and Farnsley.
The show where Arndo, he sits down with a guest and he interviews them, but while he's interviewing them, he paints them.
Man, he's so good.
He's incredibly talented. And Lindy was on there earlier this year, actually, and she revealed this as well. So, because remember, the four-year-old Regan was in the tent as well.
Right.
He was sleeping in the tent. Lindy put Azaria in there, but they thought he'd just sort of slept through it all. She goes, "The first time that we knew that he was awake and remembered anything was when we got a new dog. He was lying on the floor and the puppy ran over his back and he sort of sat up and went, oh, he like shuddered. And I said, 'What's the matter?' And he said, 'Oh, that's just like when the dingo walked on me.' And I said, 'But I thought you were asleep when I came in.' And he said, 'Nah, when you first came in, I thought it had come back to get me, so I played dead until you kicked me and spoke.'" So the kid felt the dingo and people were still like, nah.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
They're not going to listen to a four-year-old in court if that's where you're going.
No, yeah. Is that the first time that came out?
Years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a huge thing for that kid to hold on
to. Totally, yeah. But like, he didn't even realise. But anyway, let's think more about her being very cool and saying she's grateful she went through it because it means better laws for all Australians.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
I remember as a kid, there used to be a show called Good News Week. I don't know if you ever...
Good News Week. Yeah, loved it.
So there, and one time, I don't know why it was in the news, but it was obviously in the news for some reason. One of the monologue jokes that Paul McDermott did was, he goes, there's going to be a new opera about the ordeal called Domingo Took My Baby. He was one of the three tenors. And I remember thinking, I don't know why that is still stuck in my head all the time.
Wow. That really stuck for you.
Domingo Took My Baby.
It is crazy how it did become a real source of comedy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
It's a baby. It's
an awful thing to have happened.
It's so bad.
That's one of the hardest stories we've ever had on this show,
I reckon,
to hear.
I didn't really think that through before I...
Well, it's so interesting, and I'm glad you did that because I just did not know enough about it.
Totally. Neither did I. And I think it is one of those things where, like, we've just kind of grown up knowing that person or that name was a bit of a joke, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's just a bit of a joke, and it's so terrible because it's, like, one of the biggest miscarriages of justice in our country's history.
Totally.
And then to think about how awful it would be to lose your baby, and then to think about that people are like, nah, you did it, and when you didn't do it, and then to go to jail.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
And then to only get let out because someone else died.
Yeah, like a chance.
What if he'd not fallen? Who knows? Maybe they would have found it eventually, but it could have been decades later. It could have happened after she'd already passed away or something.
In that time, other kids have been taken by dingoes.
Exactly.
And no one went, oh, hang on.
Maybe it is possible. Bigger kids were taken.
Never happened before.
Yeah. Nope.
I hate that kind of... When you're talking about someone's whole life and like and you're so like it's such a throwaway thing that couldn't happen.
You probably shouldn't be a cop.
Yeah.
Do we know what happened to that James Cameron bloke? I hope that he was discredited forever and
we don't, but we do know that VHS was first released in 1976 and DVDs in 1996. That's both in Japan. So VHS was around for a good 20 years before DVD.
Yeah.
And then I guess when did DVD start fading out? Maybe they both had about a 20 years in the sun. Maybe. DVD not quite as much. Anyway, that brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show.
That was my favourite section of the show.
Well, because I was just warming you up for fact, quote, or question with a little fact of my own. But here it is. Here is fact, quote, or question. The jingle goes like this.
Fact, quote, or question.
Bing! Now, last week I had to try and do that on my own whilst quietly talking into our Zoom recorder, and it did not sound as good.
So what have you learnt, Dave?
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
So you can get involved in this if you support us at patreon.com/dogoonpod on the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe Memorial Package level.
RIP.
And this week we've got two great fact quote or questioners, including long-term friend of the show, Mark Chopper Reed.
Chopper!
You also get to give yourself a title. He's given himself, or he's stuck with the title of Dogo Dorman. Because he helped us at the Manchester show last year. A bloody legend.
Great.
And he's asked this question. Astronauts versus cavemen in a fight. Who wins?
Oh.
Did I say cavemen weird? Cavemen.
Cavemen. Well, I figure, like, astronauts don't have weapons on them.
No.
Well, they do have, like...
But do cavemen?
They might have some sort of bat.
Oh, okay. But so might an astronaut.
But cavemen would be used to, like, fighting animals.
Yeah. You'd think they'd be...
But they'd be weak from not getting enough nutrients.
The caveman...
Were they quite short too?
Yeah, but I feel like they would have hard skulls.
But an astronaut has the helmet to protect the escort.
Oh, so you're thinking astronaut in the full suit.
I think in full
suit. That's cumbersome.
But astronauts are nerds. I'm going to say cavemen. Astronauts are nerds who've never had to be.
But they can do real quick maths.
Yeah, they're great, like, in the space.
But maybe they can figure out the angles that it needs to do.
I say cavemen as well.
You know, like Sherlock Holmes in the Robert Downey Jr. movies?
Yes.
Where he's, like, doing the sums in his head. Yes. And then he beats them up with the sums. Yes. He beats people up with maths. Can you believe it?
Maths is cool.
Yeah, maths is cool.
I've said that a lot.
But I'm still saying cavemen.
I'm going to back astronauts because of their advanced suits for protection, I believe. And also, I just think they're pretty badass. A lot of them are former military people.
I reckon the cavemen are going to choke them out with their suit.
Also, I think cavemen would just shit themselves when they see these astronauts coming towards them.
I also think cavemen have pet saber-toothed tigers who are going to eat the astronauts, and then you're going to look like a dickhead.
And are these cavemen the astronauts might be coming straight from space. They're all emaciated or whatever.
Imagine how jet-lagged you'd
be. They're all emancipated from the spacecraft.
You'd be so jet-lagged.
Mm. Yeah. You lose a lot of weight in space.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Because you have to shit into a suction cup.
Yeah, that's right. They're probably their whole suit is just like full of shit, right?
Yeah,
you have to shit into a suction cup.
Yeah, it's a weird.
I don't
process.
Enjoy that. Yeah, because I guess otherwise it just floats away. Oh, that's
is it
sucks.
Clear at all?
A vacuum is what I was looking for. Anyway,
suction cup.
Yeah.
Is it clear at all why he would have asked us that question, Mark Chopper Reed?
No, he's just asking.
Is there a thing? Is that a big thing, astronauts versus cavemen, or is that
I've never
just
heard
something
of it.
That's been bugging
it's
him?
It's a new band.
Just
we
because
should start.
I've never heard of it doesn't mean it's not a cool thing though. Not in the zeitgeist.
But if I haven't heard of it, it's not a cool thing.
Thank you.
I know all the cool things.
Triple J. Call in. Who do you think would win?
0439-757-555.
And
we've all accidentally given out our own phone numbers at some point.
Did you just do that?
No. That was the Triple J text line.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mark Chopper Reed, for that fantastic
Maybe
question.
Let us know, Chopper. Who do you think would win?
Yeah, that's
Have
right.
We missed something critical here.
Chopper, text in. 0439-757-555.
Also, on the, what do we call it? The Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe Memorial Package Edition, rest in peace, Kathleen Moody. And Kathleen has given herself the title Mage of Magic Hands.
Oh, I like that.
Mage of Magic Hands.
Sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Yeah. Am I saying Mage, M-A-G-E? Or is that Magi?
It's
Or Maja.
Yeah, it's that
it's
one.
It's pronounced Majorman.
Measurement of magic hands.
Measure.
And Kathleen asked the question. Well, hang on. I should say for people listening for the first time, I don't read these before I read them on the air. Kathleen writes, I'm currently living in Kansas, but I'm a Texas girl at heart. So my question to each of you is this. If you were to live in the Wild West, mm-hmm. which character archetype would you be? Bracket. Example. Cowboy. Indian. Gunslinger, Gold Rush, Oregon, Trail Traveller. That's one thing, I think. Oregon Trail Traveller, Sheriff, or et cetera.
Oh, I think we know what Dave would be.
What would I be? Town Drunk?
Sheriff.
Sure.
Matt's the Town Drunk.
I was like, is Town Drunk an option? Yeah. I want to be, can I not be Town Drunk, but can I be one of those angry guys at the bar?
I was going to say, you're definitely a glass polisher who said... You're not from around here, huh?
The doors open, the music stops.
Yeah.
Oh, who's playing the piano?
It's a player piano.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't need someone to.
I'm so lazy I took lessons on how to play the player piano. Wow, that is lazy. Rodney Dangerfield, guest starring on The Simpsons, Larry Burns. Anyway, yeah.
I'm going to be a gunslinger. I reckon that Gunslinger's suits me, great. Don't you think?
So you're a gunslinger.
Like that.
I'm a sheriff. Let me just tell you.
And, is that a sheriff voice?
That's Dave's sheriff. Sheriff
that sounds. Yes. That's deputy.
That's Sheriff Goldworthy.
You're a deputy.
Oh, yeah.
Sheriff Goldworthy.
Kathleen does say, P.S. some context about my title. I'm a massage therapist, and a lot of my clients, when I was starting out, said I have magic hands, so I just rolled with it.
Bet you would get that a lot.
Magic hands is a high compliment for a masseuse.
Yeah, you love a bloody masseuse, don't you?
Magic hands.
Magic hands.
All right. Well, I think so. What have we got? We've got I'm the barkeep.
Mm.
I was picturing myself on the other side of the bar, but you turned me around. You've got me behind the bar, Dave. I was thinking I was one of those guys sort of hunched over at the bar.
Right. I thought
going,
you were
whiskey. Getting drinks, and then the music stops on the player piano.
Can you not see Matt standing behind the bar I reckon that dude's often heavily bearded.
Well, I'm happy with that role.
Matt's definitely at the bar, yes.
Yeah, but I thought you're the guy who's, you're still drinking a lot.
I like the other
one. One for you, one for me, you know what I mean?
Sliding them down the bars.
Mm, yeah.
And then
you.
The brawl gets going. Or what? I just duck down. Got my two-shot gun. I'm a pretty big gun
just
expert.
Just in case.
Is that a kind of gun?
Yep. As a gunslinger, yes.
Yeah. Oh, sick. I love Texas. We should go there. Thank you so much, Kathleen Moody.
Thank you, Kathleen. And now it's time for us to give a little bit of love, give some shout-outs to some of our people who support us on Patreon at patreon.com/dogomonpod.
Well, you can get two bonus episodes every month that no one else hears and a bunch of other rewards.
And normally, we always play a bit of a game, and I've thought of one. Remember how they figured out what Azaria's name meant?
Yes.
What if we gave them name meanings?
Oh, great.
Do you like that?
Their names make them seem guilty of a crime.
Oh, yes. Or it could just be a nice meaning, Dave. Yeah, you don't have to be a fucking psycho.
You laughed maniacally.
That's you. That's what you sound like. I do impressions now.
You're very good.
Here's Matt.
Oh, you got my number.
So can I start it?
Yes, please do.
I would love to thank from Christchurch, just across the pond in New Zealand.
A beautiful place. A
gorgeous place. I was there earlier this year. I miss it already. I would love to thank Alexander Jones.
Alexander Jones. I believe Alexander Jones is a podcaster. He does a podcast about the films of the Ed Budd cinematic universe.
That is awesome.
That's great.
If I'm thinking of the right guy, he got in contact this week because Primates last week was about finishing the Most Valuable Primate trilogy, which is a side hustle for the auteur, Robert Vince.
But what a
who
small
was also
world.
Involved in the Air Bud movies.
How many Air Bud movies are there for it to be?
Well, I think he did 18. There's Air Bud.
18.
Because there's like snow, there's something like snow puppies.
Snow dogs.
Air.
So he'd be wealthy from that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think he might be Canada's wealthiest film.
He's Canada's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
He's an auteur. The auteur, Robert Vince.
But what does Alexander mean?
Ah, what does Alexander mean? It means puppy lover. Loves the pups.
Oh, that does make you sound guilty of a crime.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Been a dog lover?
Puppy lover.
It doesn't have to be of a crime.
Doesn't have to be of a crime, Dave. No. Oh, if my crime is loving puppies on film too much, then I guess I'm guilty, Your Honor. Well, lock him up, boy.
Oh, no, wait. I was being dramatic. Oh, no.
Not guilty.
Too late. There you go, Alexander Puppy Lover Jones.
Guilty.
So guilty. Okay, we'll just give them their name, meaning, and if they're guilty or not guilty.
Okay.
I would also love to thank from Ottawa.
Oh.
In Canada. I would love to thank Chris Fournier.
Oh, Fournier. Fournier. That actually means celibate rifle, which is
a rifle that...
Yeah, never shoots blanks.
It never shoots blanks.
No, it always
shoots blanks.
Shoots blanks.
Right, okay.
I don't know, but Celibate Rifles is it's an Australian punk band from the 70s and onwards. But I don't know
what Chris means.
Well, hornier is the opposite of that, but fornier is where the celibacy comes from.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So Celibate Rifle, I enjoy that.
Yeah, he's a celibate rifle.
And he is...
He's got a gun, so people know to be wary.
But he's not guilty.
He'll never use it.
Yeah. Oh. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. Puppy lover.
So thank you to Chris.
Not a puppy fighter.
They're all puppy lovers.
Thank you to Chris and Alex there.
I'd love to thank, again from Canada, also the homeland of the auteur Robert Vince. From Whistler, beautiful ski town. My brother, I think, spent some time there skiing a few years back. Jack Walker.
And Walker, obviously, meaning to scoot on one's bum.
The bum scooter.
Yeah, you know how little kids do that? Sometimes before they walk, they just kind of scoot on their butt for a bit.
Yeah, puts a wheel between the cheeks and scoots.
He scoots.
Guilty.
Guilty.
My booty scooting baby is driving me crazy. That's him?
Yes.
That was one of his.
He's a booty scooter.
He's a booty scooter.
Booty scooter.
So thank you, Jack Walker,
the booty scooter. I'm a booty scooter. And I'd love to thank from Birmingham in Great Britain.
Well, we will be very soon.
And so will he be. It's Gary J.
Gary J.
Gary J from the UK.
Oh, that was
Gary
bad.
J, certainly in our Gary Listener Hall of Fame.
Is in our, oh, yeah, we got to formalise the Gary Listener Hall of Fame. So what does Gary J mean? Or it's just the surname we're doing?
It can be either.
Okay. Well, I'd love to hear what Dave has to say about this.
Either Gary or Jay.
He who eats exclusively from the lunch menu at Greg's.
Whoa.
Even for dinner and breakfast.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hmm.
Sometimes if they've run out of lunch stuff by dinner, he goes hungry.
Oh.
Sorry, Gary.
Just buy double at lunch.
I've told him that. He refuses to do it. He likes to roll the dice.
Classic Gary.
Classic Gary.
Gary J.
That is so good.
Gary J.
And you are guilty of being a connoisseur of Greg's.
Yeah. And we'll see you very soon, Gary.
Good on you, Gary. I would like to thank you, if I can, to take us home now. All the way from Oslo in Norway. Hell yeah. I would like to thank Erica De La Cruz.
Ooh, great name.
Ooh.
Erica De La Cruz. Holy moly. No way. So De La Cruz. I mean, I think this has got a literal meaning that I know. It's
Here we go. I'm so excited.
It is of. It's the. And it's. Whining and dining.
Oh, of the whining and dining.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yep. That's her family made her business back in the day. The whiners, they were diners.
I think we should set a Patreon goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
For if people contribute to our Patreon, we will pay for Matt to get improv classes. Because
Sorry.
He stopped after a certain
Don't send me back.
You mean even more?
Even more improv classes.
I've really got...
Sorry, I mean he will set up an improv school and teach improv.
Yeah, of course.
After the show, I'm going to explain to Jess what improv means. I've done it before, but I'll have to do it again tonight.
So, Erica De La Cruz, Oslo's finest whiner and diner.
Whiner and diner. And with no pressure on her at all, I can't wait to hear what Jess comes up with for the last one.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for listening in Norway. That is very, very cool. And finally, from London, another city that we will be in next month.
Very soon.
Two dates there in London. The original show, which is the nighttime show, was sold out. Few tickets left for the matinee if anyone would like to join us, which I hope this person will. I would like to thank, from London, Asad Tahini.
Oh, fantastic name. Mm.
Thank you, Asad Tahini. And Jess, here we go. Improv. Mind open. Give me an offer. No, I'll give you an offer, which is Asad Tahini, and then you accept it by saying that means...
Yes, and Tahini is a spread made mostly with chickpeas.
Oh, improv isn't just saying a thing that means a thing.
That's what it means.
Oh, is it? Is that what it means? I do have to get back. Gotta get back.
How would you improv that? Sorry, improve.
Hey, that's good improv. That is good.
Probably with some olives.
Ah, yes.
Kalamata.
Oh, that's the
love
only.
Them Kalamatas.
Kalamata.
I only improv with a jar of Kalamata.
I'm going to call Asad Tahini.
One of the best names in the
place. That is one of the best. Should we say the human olive?
Oh, the human olive.
Guilty of loving olives.
Yeah, exactly. The saltiest man I've met. But in a good way.
Yeah,
Asad.
Good salty.
In a good way.
Fantastic name, fantastic work. Thank you so much to all of our fantastic... See, I'm using a lot of different words here, like fantastic, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on fun.
Alexander, Chris, Jack, Gary, Erica, and Asad. And I'd also like to thank, for the first time ever, we're opening up the Triptych Club. So any of our supporters who've been on the shout-out level or above for 3+ years, get entered in to the Triptych
Ooh.
Club. Dave's going to make a page on the website where these names are going to go up. If you can figure out how to do it. Gold sparkly letters. If not, probably black.
Probably black.
Or yellow?
I don't think it does yellow. Okay. The internet's not that good here.
I don't think it does yellow.
Even though our logo is definitely yellow.
I don't think it does yellow. No,
no,
no.
Thank you.
That's so cute.
We've got quite a few because this is 3 years since we opened our Patreon.
That's right, because this week, happy fourth birthday, by the way.
Oh! Yeah.
4 years since we uploaded our first three episodes on November the 11th. So.
And then we started our Patreon 1 year later.
Yes. Yeah,
so, look really bad for four, you know?
I reckon I'm looking great.
We look cooked.
I've never looked this good. I'm peaking right now. I have a small beard now.
Yeah.
Let me have this.
I'm not stopping you. I'm just saying
you're
for a four-year-old.
George, you got a George Lucas-esque small beard.
Thank you. That's what I've always wanted
yours
you to
yours is
say.
Probably even smaller than his somehow.
I reckon it is.
So there's a few to go in this week because these are all inaugural, basically, first week joiners of the club. Piet Free. Dave, how do
Pete.
I say it? Pete. Fuck.
I would have
not a it. Strong start. Pete Free, Zach Steinbecker.
3 years of mispronouncing your name. Sorry, Zach Steinbecker.
Yes, Hannah Scollard.
Oh, I love all these names. They're always the frequent collaborators with us.
Chris Brockett, Elijah Shelley, Adam Stoltz, Janine Stephen, Megan Ansell, Jess Newton, Justin McCain, David Malofsky.
Mr. Justin McCain.
Becca Buck.
Becca Buck.
And Chrissy Della.
Ah, oh, you legends. Yes.
They're from the USA, Australia, and Great Britain.
Thank you so much for
Thank
people.
You so
Three
much.
3 years.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Legends,
we love you.
One and all. Dave, do you reckon by Wednesday you can get their names up on the website?
Probably not.
But sometimes.
We've got a lot
soon.
To do before the UK.
Yeah, sorry, we're drowning in reports here. Because have we announced this on the show yet? That we're working on something a little bit special. The Patreon people know about it.
Hopefully they do.
Have we mentioned it on the show, though? Which maybe we won't fully mention it just yet, but we are...
There's something cooking.
Something's a-cooking here at Do Go On HQ that will be hopefully coming out next year.
Yeah, you'll be able to see that early next year. Or hear it. Or both.
Or consume it.
Yeah.
We might be making a
cookies!
Cake.
Cookies!
Cakes and cookies for all.
Oh, yum! I'd eat a cupcake with my face on it.
Mm, me too.
I'm not above
I meant
that.
My face.
I love cake.
Let's get cake.
Can they be mud?
Mud cake?
Yeah.
Okay. I like red velvet. What do you like?
Cheese or ice cream cake?
Yes. Okay, we've got an assortment of cakes.
Love it. Something for everyone.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, so thanks everyone for supporting the show at Patreon. It means a lot to us and, it really does change our lives. Keeps the show coming out every week for 4 years now, so appreciate that. If you want to get in contact with us or buy tickets to the shows or buy merchandise, we'll send you a t-shirt anywhere in the world. You can go to dogoonpod.com. Always appreciated when you hit up the website and click the links, which also takes us to the Patreon too. And you can also click through to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube channel, where on the YouTube channel we have uploaded that UK tour diary that I mentioned at the top of the episode. And there'll also be a little link to that in this week's description of the episode. So if you want to watch our faces do stuff that's not a podcast... We ran around the UK and filmed it.
What a weird way to say it.
Ah, yes. But that does bring us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, I will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.